Georgia lawyers Bob and Irreverent D talk law. Listen up for stories about how things really happen in our legal system. Who are these guys? Dwayne Singleton, Irreverent D, is a criminal defense attorney in the state of Georgia. Benjamin O. Benson, a.k.a. Bob, is a personal injury attorney in Atlanta. Today, Bob and Irreverent D welcome back Doug Rohan. Now, sit back and take a listen as Bob and Irreverent D talk law.
The clock is running.
The clock is running. We're on the clock. Hey, welcome to the Bob and Irreverent D Talk Law podcast. I'm Bob. That's short for B-O-B. Benjamin O. Benson of the Bob Law Firm. We're here in Atlanta. We practice personal injury and we represent small businesses. I'm joined, as always, by our favorite irreverent Reverend D, Dwayne Singleton of the Singleton Trial Lawyers Group, and our good friend, Doug Rohan. Doug, tell us a little bit about your practice.
Thanks for having me. First off, these are always fun. I love sharing some stories with some other colleagues. My name is Doug Rohan with Rohan Law PC. I'm primarily out of Sandy Springs, Roswell area, doing workers' compensation and criminal defense. I've had my own practice for about 10 years now. If you want to follow us on social media, Rohan Law PC on any platform you choose. And of course, our website at rohanlawpc.com.
Now, the reason you're back is because we got going on this news article about this guy who withdrew his guilty plea in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. And we said, good night. There's so much to talk about. We need to have you back. Let's talk some more about it.
I love it.
You got buyer's remorse. I don't want to be in prison.
So just for context, The news article we're talking about is about this guy named Cartasio, who withdrew his guilty plea, or tried to. Mm-hmm. The judge said, no, you can't withdraw your guilty plea. He says, I should be able to because the lawyer that was representing me had some kind of weird, like, financial thing going on with the district attorney who he was after. And right. I think that this attorney advised me to plead guilty because of his thing going on with this district attorney. And the trial court said, shut up. No, we're not doing that. And the Court of Appeals says, you probably should look into this and decide. So we don't actually know whether he's going to be allowed to withdraw his guilty plea. But that brings up just all these things that we started talking about. And so we talked about withdrawing a guilty plea. Like, what are some, besides the conflict of interest, what are other reasons like that someone would be able to or want to withdraw their guilty plea?
One of the things we see most often, and because I do speak Spanish as part of my background, I'm Cuban, even though I look like this, and that's my primary language, is we have a lot of immigration attorneys who look for ways to try to improve the history of the person that's applying. If you have certain convictions on your record, it's a non-starter to even apply. So our firm has developed a substantial part of our practice partnering with immigration attorneys to try to improve that criminal record. So we'll go back to a case that's already been closed, and our job is to do what we call post-conviction relief. And what that means is, even after the conviction, we want to find some kind of suitable relief that will put this person back on track to apply for naturalization and citizenship in the U.S.
All right. So what you're saying, let's make sure I'm understanding this. You're saying that this guy who's not from here,
correct,
wants to become from here,
correct,
get his green card or get citizenship, and some court has to decide whether he can do that.
Someone somewhere told him to get to the back of the line, which there is no line,
right,
but he's going to try,
right,
and he's made a mistake.
He's doing it the legal way.
He's trying to do it the legal way,
right.
And he's made some kind of mistake in his past that right now is an impediment.
Right. He's got some kind of conviction, and he and his immigration lawyer is saying, hey, look, when we get in front of this judge, it's going to look terrible for you.
Right.
But if you had this conviction.
Right. But the problem is most criminal defense attorneys don't take the time to call an immigration attorney to say, hey, is this plea going to mess him up for the rest of his life before he does this?
Here's the perfect example. Shoplifting. For an American citizen, shoplifting is you slap on the wrist, do a class on theft prevention, pay a restitution, you know, give back the $2 for that stick of gum.
Go to anger management classes.
And it's a misdemeanor for the state of Georgia. Immigration, however, treats that as what's called a crime of moral turpitude.
Right.
You have demonstrated that you're not willing to behave in such a manner that we don't know that you have good character. So even though it's a misdemeanor, and any number of non-immigration attorneys will say, don't worry about it, it's not that big a deal. 10 years later, they find out, oh, this is such a serious crime that you can't even apply to be here legally.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
That's a big problem. So what can you do?
So in this context of withdrawing a guilty plea, we develop a relationship with the judges and the district attorneys and the solicitors of the various counties. And we basically go back and explain the situation to them, saying, look, I know that legally we don't have a right. Legally, we're beyond the time. It took us 10 years to figure out this was a problem, but here we are. And if you want more people here legally, then I need you to maybe work with me to maybe come up with some reason where we can legally articulate to the Georgia Criminal Information Center that the code section that's entered right now is incorrect and should be a different code section.
And so I can imagine that there are some judges who are saying, now listen, counsel, Mr. Rohan, you're saying that you want me to help some illegal withdraw his guilty plea when he admitted that he committed a crime just so that he can, so I can make him legal?
The farther south you get, the more you hear that.
When you're in Emville, Georgia, right. Like that's what you hear, isn't it?
And that's one of my favorite things to share. You know, we won't get too much into politics,
right.
But based on my appearance and based on my reputation in the community, that is something that comes into play. And the way I explain it, one example that I use is a clear example of what's going on. An undocumented individual was caring for his citizen son. Well, that citizen son came here when he was 7 years old, had an accident, is incapacitated. Well, they've been here now and the son is 17 years old, and it's about to be in a position where if the dad doesn't stay here legally to care for his incompetent son, then that son is going to become a ward of the state. So a DUI, which the state has a strong interest in making sure that stays on your record, it's the only conviction that a jury can be told about in the jury box when you're charged with a new crime.
Right.
I was able to get a very unsympathetic judge to agree that it was best in this situation to remove that from his record because he had demonstrated 20 years of good behavior to now allow him to apply for citizenship and care for his incapacitated, soon-to-be adult son.
So, Dwayne, like, what do you do if you've got a client that you wonder whether this is going to become a problem for you? I mean,
right.
I would guess, I don't want to get into, like, your conference room with your client, but I would guess you don't, like, start the conversation by saying, are you here illegally?
No, I do. It's on my questionnaire. Are you a U.S. citizen? Because there's so many people.
Yeah, if they're not, that doesn't mean they're not here legally.
No, but yeah, I mean, there's so many people that you just can't tell, right? I mean, I don't know if they're a U.S. citizen or not, right? Yeah. And then the next question is, are you here legally? Because I do want to know that because I need to know that because it determines how we need to handle their case. And I've got an immigration attorney that I'm pretty good friends with, and I'm in constant communication with them. When I have a plea, like I'm asking, like, is this going to hurt them? And if not, you know, you take it to trial. You at least give it a shot.
Right.
Right. Because there's more at stake, right? You're talking about their ability to stay in the United States and become a citizen or not.
There are some cases that I can't take a plea. If you don't do me the favor of changing the code section, this will absolutely result in the deportation of this DACA person or this person here with a green card, even for legal residents.
Yeah.
You can lose your legal residency for certain charges. I can't.
Really?
I can't plead guilty.
If I have a green card, I have we call it LAPR, right? Legally admitted for permanent residence.
Yeah.
If I'm legally admitted as a permanent resident, and I do one of these crimes
of moral turpitude,
they can kick me out.
When you're up for renewal again, they can deny your renewal.
But I thought permanent resident was permanent. You don't have to get it renewed?
Not a citizen.
At a client one time, we reduced it to an ordinance violation, and he spent a month in jail. That was our plea deal.
Just so that you wouldn't have to plead guilty to something that would affect his thing?
So he got punished, but you know, it didn't destroy him.
I'm going to derail things. I'm going to share a different story than we shared before, but this is my absolute favorite situation like this.
Right.
I had a case out in Paulding County where there was a young man who had already been deported, came back legally, showed up, and his old friends wanted to reconnect. Well, old friends were drug dealers now. So invite him over for a Super Bowl party. He comes in with his brother and his wife, and within 10 seconds of him being there, one of the guys has a broken jaw, and my guy is being charged with aggravated assault. It's because they were doing a shakedown. They told him to buy drugs. I'm here illegally. I'm not going to buy drugs. I said, well, then we want your money. So he got the best of the fight, and those individuals pressed charges after they sweeped all the drugs off the table.
Wait, hang on. That was way too fast.
Because we've got time.
I know we only have 3 seconds, but you're saying your guy goes into a party, they shake him down and say, buy these drugs. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. And they say, we're going to give me your money anyways. He hits them and then
breaks his jaw.
And then they go after him and convince the district attorney to come after him.
At least for the accusation. So yeah. I come in at the point of a immunity hearing. We lose the immunity hearing because it's still 50-50. So the prosecutor's like, look, we've got $30,000 in hospital bills. This guy's got a broken jaw. I need jail time. And I said, I can't have jail time. So a couple days pass by.
Can't have jail time because it's going to affect his ability to status. His immigration stuff.
Right. So I call him on a Friday afternoon and I say, look, I'm going to talk. You're going to listen. I'm going to hang up the phone. You're going to think about it all weekend. And then you're going to call me back on Monday. And my offer to him was, if this was a misdemeanor, which is what we were trying to get.
This is the message you're leaving for the prosecutor?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Don't say anything. Just think about it.
You need 6 months in jail for a misdemeanor. The guy's got a 3-year-old. Christmas is in the middle of that 6 months. Mm-hmm. My guy's going to turn himself in, come off bond, turn himself in for 3 months.
Right.
You're going to let him out 48 hours for Christmas. He's going to come back in, stay in for another 3 months, and then you're going to dismiss the charges. I'll take care of the medical bills. You don't have to worry about it. You get your medical bills paid. You get your 6 months in custody, and everybody's happy.
How did you take care of the medical bills?
Because you know from personal injury law, a $30,000 medical bill isn't a $30,000 medical bill.
Oh, God, I didn't even think about that.
So you negotiate that down to $7,000. The family's more than happy to pay $7,000.
Right.
District attorney calls me up on Monday, who's like, you're right. If you had just told me that, I would have laughed in your face. But after I thought about it all weekend, that's a perfect solution.
Tell me why it's brilliant.
It's just brilliant to turn him in off a bond. Just to, you know, a lot of times you'll leave them in jail, especially if I find out somebody's illegal. I'm like, don't bond them out. Let them get their time in now. Let them get their pound of flesh and we can get this thing dismissed later on. I had a young lady who had went and keyed her boyfriend's car.
Oh, no.
Okay. And she had broke his front windshield. She turned out that she didn't have her citizenship, but she was a DACA student or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was going to mess up her whole world. So we left her in there for 3 months and they dismissed her charges.
Yep.
Yeah. Because they figured, okay, she's paid her time.
Well, yeah, I told the DA, I'm like, look, her family's mad at her. Everybody's upset with her. So they're letting her stay in there. You know, just she'll learn her lesson, dismiss this. I don't want to ruin her whole life. She's got a college scholarship to UGA next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's brilliant.
And she promises not to break up with this boyfriend again.
No, she won't do it again. Well, the bad thing was there was another little girl with her, but she's a U.S. citizen, did the same thing. She gets like a fine and a slap on the wrist, right? It's a huge difference.
So that's one of my favorite arguments. I can't do any favors for somebody that's not a citizen. You're doing the opposite. You're prohibiting what is a draconian punishment of exile.
Right. And being separated from their family, typically.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. Thank you for, and we're out of time. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you send us an email to bobandidtalklaw@gmail.com. Producer Steve?
Yes.
Yes. bobandidtalklaw@gmail.com. Like us, subscribe. Make sure you check out Doug Rohan, Rohan Law, and make sure you check out the Singleton Trial Lawyers Group.
Comment below where you're watching us from.
Yeah.
Please.
Have a nice day.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next time when Bob and Irreverent D talk law.